there was concern that the policy change could have a chilling effect on whether companies would even seek to license the technologies funded by DOE.
Hi, and welcome to GAO's Watchdog Report, your source for fact-based, nonpartisan news and information from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. I'm your host, Holly Hobbs. The Department of Energy is one of the largest federal research funding agencies. Inventions from DOE funding have created new companies, jobs, and things we use every day. Things like lithium-ion batteries, now found in the majority of electronic and hybrid cars. While this research funding is important, so is ensuring that companies that have licensing agreements with DOE are meeting U.S. manufacturing requirements and that inventions that come from taxpayer funding are protected against foreign acquisitions. DOE recently made policy changes to address these issues, but that very shift may have had unintended consequences. We'll learn more about these issues from GAO's Candace Wright, who led work for a new report out today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Holly.
So, Candace, we looked at this big policy change in 2021. What exactly was the change, and what was the problem it was meant to address?
So in 2021, DOE changed its policy because it wanted to ensure that more of the technologies that it funded actually were subjected to U.S. manufacturing requirements. In the past, there had been a longstanding U.S. manufacturing preference in place. However, it didn't cover all of the technologies and inventions that might be funded by DOE. And so they sought to strengthen the requirements. They sought to tighten some of the restrictions in place and really, in their words, close loopholes that enabled companies that were licensing the technologies to ensure that those products that were coming out of those technologies were being manufactured in the U.S.
And what's been the result of this change?
Well, it's a little too early to tell. The policy only took effect about 2.5 years ago. And for companies that now have licensing agreements with these enhanced manufacturing requirements, it can take them a while to commercialize the product and to actually manufacture the product. Nonetheless, we did talk with all 17 national labs and about 20 universities and heard a range of concerns from them about the policy change. In particular, there was concern that the policy change could have a chilling effect on whether or not third-party companies would even seek to license the technologies that are funded by DOE. And so there was a concern that this could then have unintended consequences, and such chilling effects can be difficult to overcome.
But why would a company be concerned about meeting these requirements?
Some of the reasons that companies may have concerns is because that manufacturing capacity that may be needed to develop the product may actually not exist in the U.S., or the materials and supplies that are needed to manufacture the products might not be here in the U.S., but actually are in other countries. There was also concern from some of the universities as to whether or not they would seek to go through the expense of patenting the inventions, because if there aren't going to be companies seeking to license it, then it may not be a good investment on their part. And so with that in mind, we recommended that DOE really take a look at getting better insights about the potential for these unintended consequences, and also, too, to make sure that they have a strategy in place to assess the policy change and whether or not it's achieving its intended goals.
So beyond this policy change, which is fairly new, what is DOE doing to oversee the technology it funds to ensure contractors or researchers are complying with its policies?
So in 2022, there was a news report that a breakthrough battery technology that had been developed with DOE funding had actually been sublicensed to a Chinese company without the necessary parties being aware that this occurred. And so that really caused DOE to step up its oversight of labs' licensing practices. They conducted two reviews, one that focused on the lab that was involved in the sublicensing situation, but then they also did a broader review looking at all 17 national labs to better understand how the contractors that manage those labs are handling licensing agreements. They found that there was a need to strengthen internal controls, and they had a series of recommendations, including some to the contractors that manage its labs, for them to better enforce the licensing agreements, but also strengthen their monitoring of licensees and how they're implementing the license agreements.
So that's the national labs. What about the universities?
Interestingly enough, while DOE had focused a lot on the lab's licensing practices, it hadn't done similar reviews for universities. They have about 100 universities that account for about 40% of active licenses in their portfolio.
Seems like if you're going to have a leak, it's probably not going to come from your own labs. It's probably going to come from an outside lab, like a university lab, and you'd think they would be more strict with those labs or have more oversight in the first place.
Yeah, so we think it's really important that you are looking at where all of the vulnerabilities could be, and that it's not just with the labs, but that it also could be with universities. I think the challenge is that there are 17 national labs that they have a more direct relationship with, and then, you know, there are about 100 universities that they would have to oversee. Nonetheless, given the issues that they found with the labs, we think it's equally important that they also invest in ensuring that the universities aren't subject to the same kinds of lapses that they saw with the labs' licensing practices.
We've talked about what DOE is doing to oversee universities' labs, but what about the universities themselves? What are they doing to protect U.S. inventions?
So the labs and universities certainly have a greater awareness of the need to monitor and enforce the licensing agreements and really to protect DOE-funded inventions. We found that they are requiring that licensees periodically report certain information, such as any changes in company ownership or company management. Again, this would allow them to have some insight as to whether or not there are any risks associated with the license agreement and the potential for foreign acquisition of high-value technologies to certain countries of concern.
So Candace just described two issues of concern. One was whether or not companies are meeting U.S. manufacturing requirements, and the other was that there's oversight of these technologies to prevent foreign acquisition. So Candace, what more do we think the Department of Energy should be doing to better protect U.S. inventions?
So there are a couple of things. One, we think it will be important that while the department has provided guidance to the labs on how best to monitor and enforce these license agreements, they really also need to take a look at whether or not the universities have the appropriate licenses. The universities that we talked with noted that they had not received similar guidance. They definitely had some uncertainties, such as which terms and conditions to include in the license agreement, how best to ensure that licensees are meeting the U.S. manufacturing requirements. And so with that in mind, we made recommendations that the department provide more guidance to the universities to help them strengthen their licensee monitoring and enforcement efforts. And similarly, we also recommended that DOE provide guidance to the labs and universities about how they can best manage any risks associated with foreign acquisition of DOE-funded technologies.
And last question, what's the bottom line of this report?
So DOE has a few interests that it's trying to balance. There are some gaps and there's some things that need their attention. It's focused on strengthening U.S. manufacturing of taxpayer-funded inventions. It is also facing the challenge of how to promote technology transfer and ensure that the research results in commercialized products and at the same time protecting the technologies against foreign acquisition. And so we know that they are really taking a look at this issue and that they're trying to work on this balance. For example, they will need to evaluate the effects of their U.S. manufacturing policy change. They will also need to give the labs and universities the tools, the resources, and the guidance that they need to manage risks on their end. And then I'll also just add that for other agencies who have technology transfer missions, that the findings and recommendations in our report can be equally instructive for them to take a look at their efforts and whether or not there are any changes that are needed.
That was Candace Wright talking about our new report on U.S. manufacturing technologies. Thanks for your time, Candace.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Watchdog Report. To hear more podcasts, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And make sure to leave a rating and review to let others know about the work we're doing. For more from the Congressional Watchdog, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, visit us at gao.gov.